It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. Quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith, Jim Galante. Penn State bye week time. It's a good time to pump the brakes. 3 weeks into the year, what do we have questions about going in? What do we have answers to now? I think we're going to work our way through that. I don't really know the answer to that question myself. Coming to you as we always are from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Penn State's 3-0. I think you have to, you know, everything that you say that is negative about this team, everything that you say that you know, in terms of questioning the play calling or the decision making or the offensive line, any of that stuff, it all comes with this asterisk that Penn State has found a way to win each game that they've been in, you know, made things interesting early against Buffalo. Buffalo deserves some credit for that. You know, they lead 10-7 at the half. Penn State comes storming back. They adjust and do their thing. They did some of the same things last year in 2018. They were a second half team back in 2016. It's not, you know, an end all be all. James Franklin wants 60 perfect minutes, as he always does. You rarely get that from a college football team, so you have to keep that in mind. Same deal against Pitt, you know, and Pitt actually found a bit of success in the second half of that game too. Penn State down 10-7. Jordan Stout booms a 57-yard field goal, ties the game, and that's important, but also a little shot of life going into the second half, and I thought that that was important. So some good, some bad. That's what we're going to evaluate here. What's good, what's bad through 3 weeks of the season. Let me just, you know, I think to circle back to some of the preseason questions that we had, some of the issues that we're looking at. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. How would you view and assess Sean Clifford to this point in the year?
Well, I think that's the part, obviously, the position where you start. In the college game, well, in the NFL game, it's the same thing. It all starts with the quarterback. And I believe I've definitely been on Clifford's bandwagon from the beginning. I think you have also.
Sure, yeah.
But I think there's been a few growing pains for him, and that's to be expected. You know, Trace McSorley didn't hit the ground running, you know, first game. If you recall his first year starting, I think they finished 2-2, or they started 2-2, and they had the Minnesota game going into overtime. That seemed to be the moment when things clicked for that team, and it was also a new offense, by the way, at that point. So there's been some good, some bad from Clifford, but I believe he's going to learn from those mistakes, those things that have happened, and a lot of it is, I believe, about decision making. And you often hear that when a guy throws an interception, oh, bad decision. But in this offense, the RPO, when to pull it, when to give it to the running back, when to pull it out and throw the ball or keep it yourself to run, I think nothing will help him more than repetition. I think he'll keep getting better and better at it. And what's great, again, about this bye week is it is an opportunity, take a breath, really watch the tape, and learn from it. And I think Sean Clifford will, and I think he'll be better for it going forward.
I think going back and comparing, you know, what Trace McSorley, you know, his early tenure as a start, they found their stride in the early part of Big Ten play. definitely had some moments along the way where trailing Minnesota at the half when they came back and won that game. And that was the game that you can point to that changed, you know, really everything for that team and you know, Penn State's program as a whole. For Sean Clifford, you know, you look at the Idaho game, he came out too revved up. Lesson learned. You know, I think to be able to kind of get yourself in a mental place where you're starting the game, where you're not wired to the point of it being a detriment. Okay, lesson learned. Buffalo. How about the fact that Buffalo, their offense stayed on the field for so long and it created this kind of, you know, this air of disappointment, right? It was in the stadium. They're booed running off at halftime. You know, that sort of heightened sense of urgency that didn't need to be there. How about that as a lesson learned? And then the Pitt game, you know, doing what they do. You saw it on film. They play that press man coverage. You know that going in. It's one thing to be looking at that on film and to be running that against your defense in a practice situation where, you know, not all the scrutiny is magnified. That's one thing. To do it in a game is another. How about then that Pitt sending a bunch of extra bodies, pressure in his face, beating him up a little bit, needing to dust himself off and get up off the ground and continue playing. I thought he did a pretty good job of that. You can definitely make the point that he held the ball too long and maybe a couple of those hits were on him. That's another learning experience too. But I think all in all, you know, for Penn State to be 3-0, that's where everybody expected them to be. That's where they should be. There's a lot of lessons built in here for Sean Clifford.
And the one other lesson where he could have gotten the first down and he slid too early, I think he'll look at that, realize the mistake he made, and going forward, I don't believe he'll make that mistake next time.
Protect yourself, get down is not a 100% blanket rule. If you're at the sticks, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Exactly.
It all kind of rolls into how much he got beat up, though, early in that game. Running game. We knew that they had a bounty of options. It looked to me, number one, against Pitt, that Journey Brown got the start instead of Ricky Slade. I think that suggests something about how they view Journey Brown. I think they view him as a number one guy. I know that there's four. I know that it should and could be spread out among those four, but I think he, you know, it was a gesture that I think suggests where the coaching staff is thinking that Journey Brown brings what they need to start games out. I think we saw that Noah Cain, we saw against Pitt that what he brings to the table, stuff that we've been talking about for a while, going back to blue-white, the ability to get tough yardage, to be physical, to run inside. He's the best at that. Ricky Slade, you can't write him off. You know, he's a former five-star guy. I liked what he did last year. He has not done much of anything yet this year outside of that long catch and run against Pitt. Before that, you know, he didn't get the start. He missed a block on a rusher up the middle. Didn't miss it as much as he did. Probably didn't give maximum effort to picking it up. I think that that's worse than just missing it. If you read it wrong, okay. But if you didn't deliver, if you didn't step up and do what's expected of you, that's another issue too. Devin Ford's still in the mix too.
Well, and don't forget Ricky Slade's two fumbles last week.
Right.
And in the Buffalo game, I think that may have been a factor in Journey Brown starting. But in the end, I'm not sure this race has it's adjusted a little bit. Maybe Journey Brown stock has gone up a bit. Maybe Noah Cain's has gone up a little bit after the Pitt game. But what I'm hoping is after three games, the coaching staff is looking at it and is better at handling the fact that they have four capable running backs. To me, the big test.
I'm going
to
say it one more time. You finish what you're saying. I'm going to say it one more time.
In the Pitt game was Noah Cain was the hot hand and we never saw him again. To me, obviously, that was a coaching decision. So I think more than the running backs separating themselves, it's how the coaches handle having four running backs.
Having four running backs is a great opportunity. It's also a great responsibility. I'm going to keep saying it until we see that they know how to manage this responsibility. And it's a responsibility.
And so far, I'm not sure they have.
I think even, you know, James Franklin said it after the game. They were on the headset saying maybe we should have had Noah Cain on the field there. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're looking at Penn State's season so far. They're 3-0. There's certainly some things that you can circle and say, hey, they're on target. They're on schedule as far as this goes. There's also some things looking at, you know, a bumpy first half against Buffalo, really four bumpy quarters, three and a half bumpy quarters against Pitt that you can say, you know, they've got to fix this stuff up if we want to see them, you know, be the team that they can be. You know, I think on Penn State's best day, they can play with anybody. Are they going to have their best day against Ohio State or Michigan or Michigan State? How about on the road at Iowa? These are some things, and I think some doubts have crept in. The offensive line, what grade would you give them so far? Is this the group for Penn State? I don't think it was ever going to be the group. You know, the line that really pushes them forward because there was one too many question marks on this line. But what have you seen from them through 3 weeks?
As we were going into this segment, I've written down the issues. We talked to quarterbacks. We talked to running backs. And the last two I had on here was the offensive line and the defensive line as concerns. And yet the offensive line, I'm not sure they've been awful individually or bad individually, but as a group, there just seems to be too many mistakes made where defenders come in running free. And again, that you have to look at coaching a bit. Yes, ultimately the players didn't pick up the right guy. I'd give them, I think, a C, average at best.
I would give them a wait and see. Or I don't know. I mean, it's Greg is hot on the idea that if you think you've got seven offensive linemen, you probably don't have five. You know, if you think C.J. Thorpe and Mike Miranda are equals at guard, that means, you know, the glass half full says, hey, I got two starters. And that's what James Franklin's at on this. You love Des Holmes, so you mix and match him in there. Hey, I've got a guy who could start for us. Well, you would like your starters to be the clear-cut starter at the same time. Mixing and matching, maybe this is something that pays off in the long run, but I'm just not sure yet. It's funny that, like, you wrote your list right before we, and I had my list coming in. We're pretty much, you know, like, looking at the issues the same way. On the defensive side, James Franklin, not pumped up about the pass rush against Pitt. Kenny Pickett, you know, I made the comparison. Somebody asked me about this yesterday. I said, you know, it reminded me in some respects of Sam Darnold in the Rose Bowl, where Penn State was getting there. They were getting the hand on the jersey, but he just had the feet in the pocket to step where he needed to step, to slide two paces left, slide two paces right, to be able to throw it on the move, be able to make the right read, get the ball out and frustrate you. So you have to, you know, credit where credit's due to Kenny Pickett. But this is the group that's supposed to run everything, not just for your defense, but I think for your team as a whole, that this front four, this front seven, this should be the group that takes the step towards dominance. You didn't see it against Buffalo. You didn't see it against Pitt.
Have you seen yet an Etor Gross Matos play that made you say, that's an All-American?
Yeah, I mean, in games that matter, you know, I'll say it again, you know, the pass rush, it accumulates numbers, and you give them credit for that. Are they going to make the play when it needs to be made? You know, third and eight, a passing down. You put that race car package on the field. You've got Owe. You've got Windsor. You've got Matos. And you've got either Shane Simmons or Shaka Toney. Pin your ears back and go after them. Are they getting there? No. They didn't against Pitt.
And they won first down and second down. They showed how much talent was there. But on third down or fourth down, we haven't seen it when it counted.
So we'll see. All right. There's still plenty more to talk about with this Penn State team. We'll kick off next week, you know, looking at what's going on here. I'm going to look at the Big Ten race through 3 weeks, where Penn State fits in. Stay tuned.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh, yeah. And more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.